There you go. There you go. All right. Well, welcome. Welcome to Thursday nights. So we'll try that over again. So we got nothing. All right. So Thursday nights at the park here, we're going to be in First Peter chapters 1 and 2, and we're good to go. So, all right. Hey, so we got our rummage sale starting next week. So we're going to be dropping off stuff starting on Friday, the 8th and the 9th, Sunday after church on the whatever date that is, the 10th, and then Monday and Tuesday, and then Wednesday, the 13th. So a little correction. We look at these flyers so much on the garage sale one, and has a little advertisement there for God's Not Broken. It says, listen live July 24th. We're going to get that one fixed, right? Yeah. But understand, everything on the flyers were spelt correctly. Everything on the flyers were spelled correct. That was our focus. That was mine and Johnny's focus this year. And we got to get, but the date, so we're not going to be broadcasting live on Bible Radio. So we'll get a new one out there to you there. So discard the old one. That's it. So there we go. But everything spelled correctly. And no, I did not mistype things on my email asking, point out the typos. I was talking to the various other information. But I could see that, again, only Johnny B and I can understand each other's emails. So totally read. I had no problem with it whatsoever. So he gets me. But so that I did not do that on purpose. That's just a blessing in disguise there. So, hey, get that information out. Once you get the corrected flyers, post that to all your social media. Get it out on Craigslist. Does anyone do Craigslist? Is that still around, or is that just for murderers? Just for, okay. All right. Do what? You have to pay to post on there? Okay, find the free stuff. You're Christians, man. Find the free stuff. Hey, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. And Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. We just ask, God, that you be Lord and lifted up, and that we leave here today more on fire, more convicted, more committed, more submitted, more in love with you than when we came here this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. So Peter, this is that same Peter from 2 Peter. So Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Boy, there's a lot of theology right there, folks. There's a lot going there, and many try to camp on this. Let me just get into this whole thing about, there's a guy, dude by the name of John Calvin, and there's this thing called Calvinism, but that Calvinism didn't even exist until 100 years after John Calvin had already departed. Others took his sayings and his things and made all types of theology and doctrines out of it. Same thing with a guy called John Artemis, who was refuting Calvinism, and then that's the guy who where some people say that you can lose your salvation. So Calvinism, Arminianism, these theologies were started or developed by people much after them as well. But suffice it to say, some people, listen, we can, talking with another brother today, we only have words in the English language that should only mean the exact meaning of those words. That's how we get the English language. It should just literally mean that. As I found out last week, I'll be 60 this year. All right. But I'm over that. But I'm old enough to remember where the word sick actually meant you need 7-Up. You're sick. You're sick. But now it's sick. All right. It's sick. Or, you know, I grew up wicked was wicked. But I guess in the East Coast, wicked was always that's wicked bad or that's wicked good or whatever. So it's my Boston friends there, New Englanders and whatever. But words have meanings, and so here, we only have one word in the English language for the word elect, and that means elect. There's a choice that goes in it. It should be with our elections that we have options and of choosing, all right? And so if you go back to the context of when 1 Peter was written, he's writing to people that knew that they were elect according to the foreknowledge. Do not confuse the foreknowledge of God and his sovereignty. So just as I read through this, let me give you probably the best example. Who was there at Nova Putnam's adoption? Okay, so there. So let me give you when it comes to adoption. And this is the word that's going to be used a lot, is adopted. Now, and again, they're not here, so they're not hearing this. And I don't think they listen online, so they'll get no royalties for this whatsoever. All right? Actually, I fronted them on the meal, so they still owe me a lot. But so Ben and Nikki had foreknowledge. They had foreknowledge that they were going to adopt a child. So foreknowledge. And when they met Nova, they predestined or they predetermined it was going to be Nova. And because of their own sovereignty, they can sovereignly choose any kid out there. They had foreknowledge that they were going to adopt. They predestined that they met Nova, all right? And they predestined. But it was still Nova's choice, and that's the whole thing of being adopted at her age. She still has to convince the judge that she's choosing this. And so at any time, Nova could have just said, nope, I don't want to be adopted by them. I don't want this name. I don't want to do that. Which does not negate Nikki and Ben Putnam's predestined foreknowledge and their sovereignty. And so they're three separate things, and they have three separate. They're sovereign. They can adopt whoever they sovereign. They can choose to adopt or not to adopt. They predestined that they were going to adopt. They had that foreknowledge of who they were going to adopt, all those things. But it still comes down to Nova's choice. And that's the whole thing. So you really shouldn't get confused on men's teachings or thinkings about predestination, election, free will, and get hung up on all those things. It's just that simple. God foreordained before the foundations of the world that you and I would be saved. That's right out of the book of Ephesians. That's what Peter's talking about here. But you and I, God doesn't come against our sovereignty. God doesn't force us against his will. He makes it all the offers out there, but it's still our free will and our choice. He can't force us against our will. But do not confuse God's sovereignty, his foreknowledge, and how he chooses to predestine things. That is the context. Hopefully that would be very simple for you as we continue on here in 1 Peter. There really is nothing big on this stuff. I've read, fortunately, plenty of books that you don't need to read ahead of time, that they've just camped out on these things, and they dissect the word elect, and they die. Listen, Nikki and Ben elected to adopt. They chose to do that. And so don't confuse sovereignty, election, predestination, free will, meaning anything other than what those are agreed upon terms. And again, we only have certain terms. I learned the hard way. I learned experientially that words have meanings, and so did my first flight instructor. When we were practicing stalls in the airplane for the first time, never did a stall. He said, pull the yoke back. That's exactly what I do. Now, Kimberly understands that because it's all or nothing. He just said, pull the yoke back. I pulled it back, and we're looking up in the sky. And he said, push the yoke forward. So that's what I did. And as I'm 3,500 feet above the ground, looking at the farm I'm ready to buy, and we're spiraling down, I look over to my instructor. He's screaming. That makes me scream. He's not doing anything. So I predestined that I would not die that day, and so I elected to use my sovereignty and my free will to start recovering the plane. And as we covered barely 1,000 feet above the ground, and then you ever get that tingly feeling, near-death experience? And you're, and I look over him and I go, you okay? Yeah, I think the lesson's over for today. He goes, yeah, let's just get back. As we sit down and we debrief after, and this is a brand new instructor, and he just says, I go, what happened? I said, well, you said pull the yoke back. That's exactly what I did. And then you freaked out and you said, push the yoke forward. And I did, and I recovered the plane. The instructor did nothing. I said, when I looked over at you and you were screaming and we were just both screaming, it had to be a movie. And you looked outside, what were you looking for? He says, I was just seeing if the wings were still on, if we were a plane or if we were a missile, you know? I said, well, that brings me up to a point here. For now on, let me ask you something. Does your relationship with God make you sure that you'll go to heaven when you die? That's when I started praying for salvation for everyone who started flying with me from that point on. And the instructor went up with me, appreciated those prayers, but he never received Jesus and said, today's the day, possibly, man. All right. And you see, words have meaning. So now we've learned pitch the nose up, lower the nose. I don't use pull the yoke back. I don't talk inputs. I talk about configurations for the plane. Or else, others out here who learned how to fly, I don't want you to have the experience I have. Matt Gross, he loves spins. Introduce spins to him the right way. And now it's like, okay, I'm done, man. I've had enough. Now let's do some more, you know, as he's spinning around in his little plane there. Jim likes that. What did you like, Jim?
I didn't like the spins.
You didn't like the spins. Matt Gross loves the spins. He just, let's do this again. How many to go? We're all, okay, they're just fun to do. If you introduce those things properly, not how it was introduced to me. Words have meaning. So let's not get hung up on this thing. I'm not going to say pull the yoke back. It's one of the things I explained to everyone I'm teaching to fly. I said, I'm not going to talk inputs. You just need to configure the plane and put it in the position it needs to be in. Whatever, you do the pilot stuff. You see here, don't get hung up on the election, predestination, foreknowledge, and think that they're just all one thing. Yes, God does love you. But if you're standing on the railroad track and say, well, God is sovereign. If he wants me to live, he'll let this train not hit me. That's true, but he also gives you free will. All right, so do not mistake those things. So this is, understand, these words have meaning, and they mean just exactly how they're supposed to be stated. And so here, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Think of that adoption process of God the Father through sanctification. It's where we get the term saint from. We're saints of God. In other words, sanctification. It's a continual process. It's not a one and done. You are one and done forgiven. The blood of Jesus Christ forgives you of all sin, and you're going to heaven. But sanctification is a continual process because, well, we've already gone through 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, what's that word if doing in there? It's written to Christians. And so that sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience. So have you all been obedient today on everything? I have not, all right? And it might not be a damnable or a damnation sin, but I might have missed the mark that God had me for today. It didn't get in the way of my relationship with him, but now I can see it obedient. So listen, this sanctification, so we are, again, what does the Bible tell us? We learn obedience. By what? Well, by not being obedient or being tried or being in situations where we just need to, what? Stick with the plan. We learn obedience. And Christ Jesus is our example. So again, sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience, sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Remember, Christians, listen, you might have just been reading the Bible, but as a pagan, you did not greet people with grace first. You always say peace be unto you because you just, you know, peace be unto you. But the Christians changed things. They changed the order of things. They did things purposefully to cause some type of a conversation. They would say grace and peace unto you. And people are like, don't you normally just say grace? And you're like, no. Or don't you normally just say peace? And they go, no, first you must receive the grace of God before you can receive the peace of God. So we're not just saying, hey, peace, man, peace unto you, you know, peace, love, dope, love, drugs, love one another, all that kind of stuff. He's saying grace. And the peace that we're talking about is the peace of God. That's really where that term comes from when you say peace to one another. Not just cease from being whatever, being an angry person. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant, listen, his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This is that adoption, by the way. Okay? Again, adoption. You're not adopting this child so they can go do evil. You're adopting this child so you can teach them to drive the getaway car. You're not adopting this child or this person or being but begotten again unto, again, a lively hope, he tells us here. All right? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, verse 3 tells us. Remember, underline that one. the reason why we're at this park today, studying the Bible, the reason why you go to church, the reason why it should be, but because of Jesus Christ raising from the dead. It's not that you can just hang out with morally upright people. Listen, I backslid early in my walk with the Lord, after walking with the Lord for maybe 5 or 6 months, pretty much just turned away from the Lord, because I was addicted to the fellowship. I was addicted to the fun. I was addicted to being around people that I could actually trust and relax around. And when it came time for me to stand really on my own, or to be walking on my own without the, again, the close-knit fellowship around me, that I had no substance. I had no depth. And so here, again, he's begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So everything about Christianity is the resurrection. If you took away that Jesus Christ is God and there was no resurrection, I still could have attended church with a group of people or an organization that were fun-loving, like to hang out, like to eat, not do some of the other vices that I was doing. And I could have hung around, and it just would have been a social club. But it's because Jesus Christ rose from the dead that he's God. He proved that he was God. This is, again, in the context that Peter's writing, there's plenty in paganism. They have their own gods. They have their own blood sacrifice rituals as well. They have their own sacrifices. They have all their own things. But the outcome of those beliefs or those religious systems is not eternal life, is not the peace of God. Because all the religious system is not based upon grace. It's based upon your works and being better than the person next to you, or trying to outdo them in whatever social construct that you're in. And so it's because Jesus Christ is God and proved that he is God by rising from the dead and coming back. Verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Again, for those of you who are at the adoption, that is one of the things that the judge said to Ben and Nikki. This child that you are adopting has all inheritance rights. You cannot exclude this person from being next of kin. This person, even though their youngest boy, Judah, is younger than Nova, they're like, listen, this is the big sister. This is, by all rights, if anything happened to Ben and Nikki, Nova becomes the next of kin because she's the next older. That's the whole thing with adoption. Just because she's adopted doesn't mean that Judah, their natural born son, is the next of kin if something was to happen to them. That's how it rolls. And the judge points this out to the adoptive parents. God adopts us. He knows full well and has full disclosure about what we're, and that this inheritance, it's not the natural born. It's that you are adopted in, and it's all one. Now, I don't know if they are, if they're going to do this or not, but they can. But they can. I know that once you do adoption, you can actually petition for a new birth certificate, and your names can be put on there as adopted. So, in other words, there's no whatever prior parents or lineage there. You can get a new birth certificate that way. I don't know if they're going to do that or not, but that's allowable by law, because by the eyes of the law, that is what Nova, their child, is. She is next to Ken. She's next in order. She's the oldest child of Ben and Nikki Putnam. And the judge needed to point that out to them. So this is all the legal. They already knew this going into it. They didn't go, what? No. No one explained this to me. They knew all this stuff, but the judge had to say all these things for the fact that it's being said and it's made for a matter of record. So for you and I, to all inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, maybe some of you. No, everyone. Who's the you that Peter's talking about? You. You, if you're the only person here tonight. So listen, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You do not physically have salvation in your hand, eternal life. That is a guarantee. That is a promise. But because of the one who's promised it, it's pretty much a guarantee. It's just a guarantee. All right? But just think of what we could do. And I like this. I like that salvation is reserved for me in heaven. Because just think what we could do to our own salvation. We would have TV Christian reality shows, you know, trick out my salvation or something, or upsell my salvation. Look at my salvation. And why do I say that? Because I did a history, I just like studying history, of choir robes. Choir robes were designed to be very plain because rich and poor would come together at church and they started as a way to put a choir robe on you that you're all the same. But then over time, people started to add little stripes and little things to their choir robes. Now there's a couple of denominations here. People will, you give us anything that we think that we can kind of tweak a little bit, we will. So be thankful that salvation is reserved for you in heaven for all eternity. Just think what you could do to it right now. A couple of denominations. There's one denomination that women, no makeup. No makeup, no jewelry. But whatever you want to do to your hair, you can. And woo! And there's another group that, you know what, not with braided hair, but you can wear makeup. And it's interesting when we get together with various groups for like to do community outreach or whatever, or there's like a community choir, I can tell which denomination of groups of people are up there. Because one half, you know, especially when it comes to the group that they come with their, you know, their really decked out choir robes. But man, and they can't dress real fancy, but they fancy up their choir robes, and it might be the group that you can't, no makeup, no jewelry, but man, the hairdo is a, you know, lots of money spent on that hairdo. And the others, nope, don't do anything with the braided hair, but you can wear fine clothes and jewelry, and they're all decked out. And so it's just like, again, this is reserved. That's just us. That's just you and I, sinners saved by God's grace, sanctified, being continually sanctified. But I'm grateful that there's nothing when it comes to salvation that's left up to me. Because verse 5 says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Well, you know, it's a temptation to me. If I give into it, then I can conceive sin. But there's a lot of temptations. There's a lot of opportunities to not walk with the Lord. There's a lot of opportunities to not be obedient. There's a lot of opportunities, and it will cause heaviness. It might be in the way of maybe feeling guilt or sorrow or those things. There could be the heaviness. But the joy of the Lord should be able to take away that heaviness. I don't need to stay in that heaviness. I can immediately run to the Lord and be forgiven or get things right or take care of those things. And I can get back into the power of God through faith unto salvation. But, you know, I'm not enjoying, you know, the prices and the things that are happening in our economy right now. You know, if things really get bad, I'm going to be thankful for the survival food that I have a little bit that might get me through a few weeks of, you know, discomfort, but I'm not going to enjoy that. You know, I actually ordered a case of sea rashes, the kind that I ate in the Marine Corps, stuff like that. And I know what's coming. And who's ever with me, you're getting the chopped eggs and ham, and you have to go outside and open that up. I already know right off the bat. But I'll take the beef and rocks, which is the stew, you know, and I already know that. You're getting the chopped ham and eggs, man, and go outside. And so here's the thing is that, but through heaviness and manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You remember that we're going to stand before the Lord. You remember that we're going to give account of our lives. That we are going to testify by our lives. We might even use our lips, but we're going to testify. Again, another word here, it's going to be our conversation. And that's a King James word, meaning your whole manner of life at this appearing. So then, as in 2 Peter, as we finished up last week, is then how should we live? How should we be in the light of all this? Whom, having not seen, you love, and whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. We have the guarantee. We have the sign and the seal of His Holy Spirit in us. We know that God is with us and that, you know, that we're going to be with Him for all eternity. And we have that peace that goes by all understanding. But remember this, that the devil cannot rob us of our joy, whatever fallen minion, demon, or that's devil's following you around. We give that up. You don't lose your first love. You leave your first love. And so here's the thing, that it might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That's how I want to be found. Can't say that it's happened all days. I'm grateful for today and right now. If I go to be with the Lord, the rapture happens. It's going to be a good moment. It's going to be a good moment. And again, not that I have seen Him, but yet with joy unspeakable, full of glory. Those are the identifying marks of a relationship. Again, participating in the inheritance, being adopted as His children, following after Him, unto obedience, practicing and learning obedience, and being able to encourage one another. One brother sharing with me, hey, you missed out on doing something, sin, not a damnable sin. One of those sins that we see in 1 John that doesn't produce death, but just you missed the mark for today. And then I keep pointing to the scars all over my arms. I'm like, yeah, I have continual reminders. Every time one of my grandkids or some kids, someone, hey, how'd you get those scars? Oh, because I wasn't obedient to the Lord. You know, when my wife was showing up late that day, still try to blame her, but you know it's not true. All right. Maybe you can go wound one more time on your skateboard. And I did. And it's just a continual reminder. And I need these things to just, you know, everyone will think, I wonder if I should do that. Nope. Okay. And I have a visible reminder. I need these things. All right. Because obviously, before having these scars, I would just do this a lot more. But now there's like a physical reminder for me there. So, hey, I rejoice now for them. At the moment I'm flying off my skateboard, no, I'm not rejoicing. But here, joy unspeakable, full of glory. I can say that now. And I know receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets had inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Listen, these prophets being full of the Holy Ghost, and not all the time it would come and it would go. You and I get it all the time. And at the prophets, as we know in the Old Testament, they would prophesy and they would talk about this grace. And they'd see the weight of the law and what was happening. And they knew that the blood of bulls and goats and the various other animals and the sacrifices would not take away the consciousness of sin that they've committed. They might be ceremonially right with the Lord at that moment. But it says here, to prophesy of the grace that should come unto you. So let's just take that aside. Let's just think about this. Think of all the others. We just had 4th of July. And I just have to turn it on, off when I'm seeing people go through and they're interviewing people on the beach. Or 4th of July, who did we declaim our independence from? What year? What war? And just to hear the response. And now I know that I'm not going to be on the video of these things, because I'm going to answer all the questions appropriately and with knowledge, okay? But but there's really that many people out there who don't know what July 4th is all about. And the reason being, or Memorial Day, or Labor Day, or, you know, Veterans Day, and all these various holidays and what they're for and how they established and what they were all about. And yet, we're here today because of the sacrifice of 16 million others in World War II. And then World War I, the war to end all wars. And then, you know, the Civil War. And then the, you know, American Revolution. Seems we're prone to war here. But it tells us here, but that we're able to, again, here in America, United States, because of what was done, people sacrificing their lives, knowing that they were not going to get immediate or even maybe in their lifetime. When I look at others like, you know, we have a term like, hey, you know, talking about, you know, you don't have a whole lot of money. You'll say, hey, I'm no Rockefeller. all right, or Minnesota. I'm no Mondale. You know, I'm no Rockefeller. I'm no this thing. And I don't know why when you make a mistake, you go smooth Einstein. Einstein was actually pretty bright. But you say I'm no whatever. But if you do the history, and again, they've got some bad history of how they got their monies and stuff like that. But every one of these, J. Paul Getty, J.P. Morgan, the Rockefellers, they all started off with, because they were poor, they said, my generations to come after me will not suffer like I suffered. And why they started to build their empires and why they would do things. They thought many generations after themselves, which unfortunately some of them used that as justification to do some of the illegal things that they did. But let's not get away from their motivation that they sacrificed. They did certain things that others might benefit. And that's a sacrificial, again, living that I'm trying to talk about as Christian. Verse of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, the Messiah. Understand this, 1 Timothy 3:16 says that all, what does all mean? All scripture is God-breathed, all right? So no, man did not write the Bible. The Holy Ghost in man, they were the tool, wrote the Bible and put it down to pen and paper or scroll. And the same thing as these prophets of old. He's telling this right here. Because Christ was in them then. Christ, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Christ was in them prophesying, this is it, write this, say that. All right? And so here, Christ, which is in them, signify when it was testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ. Well, that's Isaiah 53, Psalm 22. You can, many, many, many more. And the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desired to look into. And so the Old Testament that we would call the Old Testament, that's what Peter's talking about. They were writing these things. And they were not going to directly benefit from what you and I get right now. I mean, you think of Joseph in the book of Genesis, who only heard God three, maybe four times in his life. And yet you look at his life of following after God. And then it's the many times that you and I as Christians, we're like, God, speak to me again. Confirm that confirmation. Confirm. And we can, familiarity breeds contempt sometimes, because we get the Holy Ghost. We get Jesus Christ. We get the Messiah in us at that point of salvation and receiving him. And we get that peace that goes by all understanding. We see that grace. We get to be led and directed by him all the time if we practice obedience and we practice hearing and listening to him. And so here he's saying that they preach this. Holy Ghost, that's the Messiah, was in them all along. Angels desired to look into this. Now listen, they're extraterrestrial. The angels can do a lot of things that you and I can't do, all right? But there's one thing that the angels can't do. They can't sing the song of salvation. They can't sing the song of the redeemed. There's things that we're going to partake in the kingdom of God. In fact, we're going to judge the angels. Right now, we're a little terrestrial below them, all right? But, you know, here we are. Eventually, we will judge them. It says here that they've even longed to look into these things. Verse 13 of 1 Peter 1. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end of the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, not revelations. And remember this, the book of Revelation, the only book in the Bible says if you read it, you'll get blessed. Doesn't say you're going to understand everything, but you will be blessed for reading it. And the book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. The word Antichrist isn't even used in the book of Revelation. It's introduced in 1 John. But we know what's being said there about the Antichrist, the false prophets, and the beast. But it's the book of Revelation. Chapter 1 of Revelation says this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. That is that Messiah. Verse 14, as obedient children. So, as obedient children. If you're not obedient, this might not be applying to you right now, but it can, because you're just one step of obedience away from being obedient at that moment. And so here, you can choose to be obedient now. And as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. See, when you come to Christ, you realize that your former lusts, you did those out of ignorance. When you go back to them, it's no longer ignorance. You know exactly what you're doing. So therefore, your safety net is what, Christian? Obedience is your safety net. Because going back to them, I'm just speaking for myself, but looking around here, I think I'm in good company. I know exactly what I am doing now. Before, I just did it. I never, ever dealt with temptation ever in my life until I became a Christian. Maybe you grew up in a family that you kind of knew right from wrong, and maybe you grew up with that image of the good person on one shoulder, the angel on one and the devil on the other. Maybe you, Fred Flintstone, maybe you go back to those cartoons there, Bad Fred, Good Fred, you know. I just had bad chick on each shoulder. I didn't even know they were bad. They were like, just do it. One would say, just do it. And the other one, like, do it more. There was no restraint. And then becoming a Christian, I was like, hey, do that. I'm like, I don't know if I want to do that. Again, my relationship with the Lord is one that I don't sin and step away from God, or I do not step away from God because I think this would break the heart of God. I'm so incredibly blessed beyond measure. Greedy in a godly way, I don't know if that's possible. Blessing hound, I'm blessed beyond measure, more than I think I ever deserve, but I'm okay with it. No one's going to inform him. I'm not going to inform him, all right? So this is how I think. I would have to give up all this blessing to go do this. So that's my walk with the Lord. You think, well, what kind of walk is that? What do you care? Do you care that the reason why I don't cram your teeth down your throat when I get upset because I don't want to miss out on the blessings of God, or because I don't want to break the heart of God? Do you actually care which reason that you get to keep your teeth? No, I don't care. The same reason as I tell my children, I don't care why you do this as long as I get the desired behavior that I want. Now, my kids, I've tried to pour on them the blessings. Look, if you continue to be obedient, I just want to bless your socks off. I just want to do that. A couple of my grandkids are kind of getting tuned up. They're kind of fun to be around right now. I realize if they don't ask me for anything in the store, I tend to say, hey, get whatever you want. Yeah. Now, do I care that the reason why they don't ask me for anything and bother me for anything because they know they're going to get something? I don't care their reasoning. All I know is all the way through the story, can I get that? Can I get that? Can I get that? Can I get that? I want that. I want that. I want that. I don't hear that anymore. Do I care why they're choosing? I want to bless them. I have predestined, I have foreknowledge, I have sovereignty. I want to bless my grandkids or my kids, and I want to bless them when they're here, because I just want to. But if they're greedy, they're gain, they want whatever. So again, a couple of my grandkids, they're kind of learning that one. So listen, in verse 15 it says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. Conversation. King James word, that means your whole manner of life. You might have a new King James or an NIV or NSAB, and it might say your whole manner of life. But we're holy because he's holy. Listen, I haven't ceased from lying because it's sin. I haven't ceased from being evil because it's sin. I choose not to do those things because God is holy. It's because Jesus doesn't lie. It's because Jesus doesn't go back to the former lust. Jesus doesn't do these things. And so here, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation, in all manner of life. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Now, if you want to be perfect, then Matthew 5:48 is your verse. That's your life verse. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. So God gives you an opportunity. If you want to do it all on your own, then you've got to be perfect. Again, talking to somebody the other day from one of the companies taking measurements for carpet, and he finishes up, and he says, perfect. And what do? I mean, the people around me, and they know exactly where I'm going. I said, dude, don't say perfect. I'm like, why not? Well, they crucified the last perfect one. Just say this is really good work. This is really good. Your measurements are really good. Because if they're perfect, we're going to have to kill you. And he's like, okay, it's time to go now. I'll just turn these numbers in and the company will get back to you there. Listen, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. So that's what we get to do. So you have an option, be perfect as God is perfect, or just practice being obedient and holy to the Lord. Just do that. I would say that's going to get the desired behavior that he's looking for if I'm trying to be holy like he is. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons, now going back to the whole adoption, the foreknowledge, the predestination, that whole court proceeding, that whole adoption proceeding, no respect of persons, doesn't matter. You're adopted. You're all part of that inheritance there. And it says here, is without respect of persons, judgeth according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourning here in fear. Not, that word fear means of one of reverence, one of awe, not being afraid fear. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, your whole manner of life, received by tradition from your fathers. So let's just put it where it's at. Why do you do what you're doing? Is that a tradition you learned from your fathers? Why do you go along this way? You know, and they're just like, well, I learned from my father how to, break elbows and bust kneecaps. So when you collected, that's what you do. Are you grateful I no longer practice that? Do you care? It's because I don't want to give up the blessings of God, or because I would be sinning against God and would break his heart. Do you care either way? You're just grateful that I don't handle things that way anymore, all right? And so this traditions of men of just, and this is why fathers, you mothers, that we need to make clear to our children why we're doing certain things. This is what we just do in our family. Distinguish between what God calls and what we're doing, and I'm trying to honor God, but this is just how our family, this is just how we roll, and this is what we do. Doesn't mean what we do is wrong, it just could be different. All right. So that's just what we do. But make sure that they know that that's what you're choosing to do as a family, to bring honor to God. But that if you don't want to do that, you're not sinning against God. You're just sinning against me and mom if you choose to go your own way. And you're going to miss out on what we want for you. It's just real simple. Hey, when you turn of age, two things have got to exist. One, you've got to want to live here. And two, we have to want you to live here with us. And they have to be at the exact same time. It can't be one or the other. We've had our children say, hey, we want to live with you. We don't want you to live with us. Just can't. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen, all right? And so here, that again, they were redeemed or by their tradition or by their culture or by their things, by gold or silver or the various blood sacrifices. Religions have that. They have means of obtaining your own righteousness and your own standing. But here it's all dependent upon Jesus Christ rising from the dead. But, verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Well, that's also going to diss all their other sacrifices because they didn't normally just give the best thing for a sacrifice. In their religion, if it required an animal, they didn't care what kind of an animal what it was or whatever. They never really gave the best. And so here he goes back and he's talking and predominantly talking, again, he's talking to Gentiles, but also the Jews understand this as well, about that lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained. Don't get confused. foreordained. It was already predetermined. God already knew what he was going to do. Jesus still had a choice. Foreordained before the foundations of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. No religion. No other religion. I can't say other religion because Christianity is not a religion, but religion. Any of the isms, Jesus Christ is the only one who's risen from the dead, and thus that's what makes us Christians. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto him. Do you understand what it means? That's that, again, that sanctifying. You're not going to be pure that moment. You're pure that moment you get saved, but now it's going to be what? By practicing obedience, continual cleansing, continual sanctification, continual purifying that goes on. And don't get hung up. When God shows you something that's sin in your life, that's wrong for you, then go ahead and give that up. There's things that I discovered 5, 6, 7, 10 years into my walk with the Lord that I'd always been doing, but then God showed me that was sin in my life. I'm like, wow, I've been doing that for that long? Okay, I got to give it up now. I don't get hung up like, man, I've been doing that for the last 10 years, and there was other things God needed to work on. You know, there's other things that were more important that he needed to work on, but here is another thing. But now, that was in ignorance, but now if I go back to it, it's not out of ignorance. I know exactly what I'm doing. Again, so seeing that you have been purified your souls by obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, seeing that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Again, through the Spirit. You cannot do this in the flesh. Listen, I'm a hard individual. Great love for us. You totally understand and get me where I'm at. But understand, this has to be understood. The only way is the Spirit. Because to the natural man or to the carnal Christian, I don't make a whole lot of sense. It just could be aggravating. Somebody this week was just telling me I don't really conduct business at church. And I said, well, hey, let's take care of that. He says, well, I tried to get it from the church, but then you yelled at me. And he said, not at church. You don't do business at church. And I go, whoa, settle down. I go, I didn't raise my voice. I never raised my voice. I didn't talk to you that way. I didn't say it that way. You tried to approach me. I said, hey, my personal business, I don't use convenience of coming to church, of using that to do business or my own personal stuff. I've been saying that for 40 plus years. I mean, if anything, it's devoid of any emotion. It's just an automatic response. I'm just like, hey. I said, but the problem is when you convey that to others, because that's how you perceive it, you make others think that I yell at you and I get all upset. I wasn't upset. You're new around here. I understand. Hey, I just, not at church. I don't use church as business. I don't, we can take care of that. When people try to return stuff to me, I go, hey, not at church. Why? Because I didn't lend that to you at church, and I'm going to forget it here. I've left so many things in church. That's just, I have no connection. It's outside of this building, outside of the gathering together. I did not loan that to you or give that to you at that function. You bring it back to another time, and I can make that connection. My brain's somewhere else on a Sundays and Thursdays. I've left lots of things people come. So I just don't receive things from you. If we didn't conduct that at church, well, I'm not going to do it at the church setting. But I didn't yell at the person. I said, settle down. So why did you hear it that way? And that's the thing that I'm sharing with you, is that because this relationship that you and I have, it's got to be through the Spirit. That's the only way that we're going to love one another. And again, practicing obedience, seeing that you purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. This is the word of God, folks. It tells us in Psalm 139 that he honors the word above his name. So again, the due diligence of practicing obedience, of doing through the Spirit, of doing, of reading through the Word of God, said, I want to be like that. My marriage counseling is really simple. My marriage counseling is really simple. Guys, your verse is, don't say it, Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Ladies, your verse is Proverbs 14:1. A foolish woman tears down her own house by her own hands. Now, you do whatever you want with those two verses, all right? And that just so when you act and respond to one another, it's going to be one of those two verses there. So verse 1 of chapter 2, wherefore laying aside. Now, after all of this, let's read through this quickly up through verse 17. Wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy, envyings, and all evil speakings. You need to practice doing that. Why? Because we're given to guile. We're given to hypocrisies, envyings, and evil speakings of one another. You don't have to demonize the last church that you were at to try to fit in this group. In fact, people say, they start talking about bad about the last church and say, oh, hey, it's okay. We don't need to hear it. Don't have to do that here. Just God bless you. You're here. You don't have to fit in here. Our bar's real low. I'm the pastor, so you're good. All right? As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. That's all a newborn babe wants. Just wants to be fed. Wants that sincerity of the milk. That's it. To whom coming as with a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. We're not precious to the world, folks. We're precious to God. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up as a spiritual house and a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Living that sacrificial life, living stones, living, breathing, active stones, built up into houses. We're all part of that building blocks. If you want to contextualize that, we're just Legos, right? We're just trying to put us together. All right? Now, some, like my grandkids, they take a hammer. I'll make it fit. Okay. All right. You also, again, but wherefore also it is contained in the scripture. I don't know if you're catching the theme here, what's going on here, but there seems to be a real importance of God's word. Contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which is disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumbled at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. So go to that light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. How then ought to should we live? Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Talking to Christians with lustly and soulish behavior, having your conversation, your whole manner of life, honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Telling us here that again, that our lives are in such a way that if someone's trying to say, hey, that person's a real jerk or they're that way, and they go, oh, no, that they're not like that. I may not like what they have to say, but that's not them. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. Get more into this next week. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. I'm going to stop there because really from verse 18 on all the way through chapter 3 is a continuation of one thought. But again, we're going to see, again, this government right now here in the United States is actually persecuting those who are doing good. And you're going to have to be long-suffering and patient and wait for God's deliverance when it comes to these things. We know that there's still people sitting in jail from January 6th who did not break any laws, but yet they're not even given a fair trial yet. And we're praying for them and others. And that's the same thing here, you and I as Christians. You're going to suffer for doing good, but that's what we're called to. But let God be the one who delivers us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. Just ask you to be that Lord and lift it up. Jesus, just do your work in each and every one of our lives today. And that, Lord, that we would leave here today more on fire, more convicted, more committed, more submitted, more in love with you than when we came here this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 May the Lord bless you. May you be encouraged. May you be built up. May you see the importance of God's word. Take it from a successful failure, someone who isn't obedient every waking moment of his life, but practice obedience. Don't end up with scars on you like I have. They could have been avoided, but they're not. And you use them for reminders. So take those things that God brings you through and use them for his glory and for the praise.